Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, December 15th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. A lot has happened in the last week and the last weekend of wrestling. So much to talk about in today's show. We have people debuting in companies, people returning to companies, and just a bunch of stuff. Controversy and excitement and everything in between. So a lot to cover today. Anything that I don't get to today, of course, we will talk about over on the Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. Myself and Jeremy do that show every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. So please join us live. Check it out on demand. We appreciate the support on that show. And just kind of plugging it now because there's probably stuff you want me to talk about that happened this past week that we're not going to get to on today's show. Because obviously today's show, I cover mainly the world of independent pro wrestling and also, you know, some other companies that don't get as much coverage elsewhere. But, of course, we had Saturday night's main event last night. I'm recording this, by the way, on Sunday afternoon. My Minnesota Vikings do not play today. They are the Monday night game, the whiteout game. They're going to be wearing all-white uniforms. And, of course, I got myself an all-white Jordan Addison jersey to wear from home to support the team while I watch tomorrow night. But today, being Sunday, little pull the curtain back for y'all. Basically, what I'm doing today is I'm recording this show Sunday afternoon with most of the results, and then DPW's 30th anniversary show is going to air later today, and I want to include the results on the show for y'all. So this will probably be uploaded late on Sunday night, because once again, Deadlock Pro 30th anniversary, it was a show that was taped last weekend but is airing today, so I definitely want to include that because DPW has been an awesome promotion. Love covering their shows, got a ton of great talent. I'm looking forward to watching the event, and of course I wanted to include them on the show today. So at some point during these results, you will hear me edit in DPW results. Don't know how quick they'll be. I might just run through the winners and losers. I might go more deep dive, more detailed. It really depends on how much time I've got left and kind of what happens on the show. But just a little full disclosure for y'all there. And also, it was wild the timing of everything this week. I took some time off work and went out of town, went to the casino for a handful of days with my family, and these are trips, well, this trip in particular was planned like a year ago. The way that it works with my shoot job, my 9-to-5 type job that I've got, I basically, because it's this big corporation, I have to put in my vacation time for like the entire year before the next year starts. So like, for instance, for 2025, I've already put in all my vacation time that I'm hoping to get, and it'll get approved, you know, sometime in the next few weeks, but I'll know my time off. You know, there's other things, there's other little days off and stuff you can take throughout the year, but like vacation time, I mainly have to kind of get approved ahead of time. So the time off that I just took the last few days, I had scheduled a year ago with my job. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because the timing was wild that Fourth Rope Heels Have Eyes ran a show at Center Stage on Thursday night that I really wanted to attend and that I was actually invited to come out to. Had to turn it down, unfortunately, because I was already planned to go on this trip. And then on Friday, TNA had Final Resolution, and that was in the same building, at Center Stage. So I missed back-to-back Center Stage shows. And then the week before, I was sick and missed GCW. So just like the worst, weirdest timing ever, having to miss all these live shows that were all in my backyard. But, you know, I'll still, of course, cover all of them for y'all here on the Weekender as, you know, the shows air and everything is available. That said, I did want to cover the Heels Have Eyes event, but the results are not available yet. So once those become available, and if and when, you know, the show is, you know, able to be viewed, I will cover that show. I wanted to include it today. I really did. It looked like an awesome show. One thing that we do know is in the main event, the Hardy Boys became the first ever Fourth Rope Tag Team Champions. They defeated Violence Is Forever and the Infantry in a ladder match. And once again, had I been in town, I would have 100% been there and really, really wanted to see my boys, VIF, especially. And I love the Infantry as well. I always got a lot of love, especially for Carly Bravo. Was super, super kind to me at a show that I worked at years back during the pandemic. One of the kind of first things that I did, like when I did commentary for District Championship Wrestling, he was on those shows and he was really, really cool to me. So I've always got a lot of love for him. You know, and of course, you know, everybody involved, I love all these people in this match, but y'all know VIF is my favorite tag team in the world. and I really would like to see them live and catch up with those guys, but, you know, another place, another time. VIF is killing it in the world of wrestling, and we will, of course, talk about them throughout this show, too, with some results. But that's kind of what's been going on the last week with me. I had a great first day at the casino. The rest of the trip, I got absolutely destroyed. I do not recommend people go out there and gamble. I know I try to make that really clear. Be an adult, be responsible if you're going to do it. But that said, I will be returning in like 2 weeks. So wish me luck in a couple weeks. Anyways, let's talk some wrestling. As I said, no Heels Have Eyes results today just because they're not available. And I will include the DPW results when I get them and try to put them on, you know, today's show for y'all. The only reason you wouldn't get DPW results today is if for some reason there's like an issue with the stream. So, you know, fingers crossed that all goes smooth. No reason to believe that it wouldn't, because DPW has been top-notch, super high production level. So, that all said, let's go to the topics today and jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Game Changer Wrestling. We got GCW, Scene of the Crime, and Highest in the Room. Also included some really, really big things and a big debut and, you know, a lot going on as GCW heads into their big Hammerstein show in just next month, in about a month. We also got results for Action Wrestling Bangers Only 5, which included a massive heel turn and technically a massive debut for the Action Wrestling World Champion. We're going to talk a lot about that on today's show. Also, as I mentioned, we got DPW 3rd Anniversary results once I have them. We have NWA Samoan 2 Part 2 that was over on the National Wrestling Alliance, almost called the Twitch X account. We have NXT Level Up results. We're going to do ROH Final Battle predictions because that show will be this upcoming Friday. So in a little less than a week, but obviously before I record the next episode of the Weekender, so I'm going to get my ROH Final Battle predictions out there. And we'll close up today's show with TNA Impact spoilers. So I will, of course, give y'all a spoiler alert, and I will put the timestamp in the description below for anybody who wants to remain spoiler-free. And obviously, there's a lot going on right now. Good, bad, different, controversial, whatever you want to call it, a lot going on in TNA wrestling. So we'll touch on that to round up today's show. So that said, let's jump into the first set of results, which is GCW Scene of the Crime. This show aired on Triller TV Plus as a part of the Triller TV Plus package. As I always say, not sponsored or endorsed to tell you to sign up, but there's a lot of GCW content over there, live and on demand, and a whole bunch of other stuff, not just GCW, that's over on Triller TV Plus. This show was from the Nile Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. This was on December 13th. These are the results. Show started off with Fuego de Sol over JKM. The finish of this one, I call it the Mysterio DDT salt, and the reason I call it that is the first person I ever saw do this move was Rey Mysterio in WCW when I was a kid, and it absolutely blew my mind. And, I mean, it's still an incredibly impressive move to this day. Basically, if you don't know what this is, it may be more well-known as just a DDT salt, or I really don't even know a actual name for this move. But basically what Fuego del Sol does is he springboards off the top rope while he's got JKM's arm. He's got him set up like he's gonna do an old school, right? Like he's grabbing by the hand, so he has like control of like the arm and shoulder. He jumps up to the top rope, springboards backwards into a moonsault, but on the way down comes down in a DDT. It's, like I said, one of the most impressive moves, honestly, like I've ever seen. And I saw Rey Mysterio do it, you know, back in like 1996 or whatever it was when I first started watching him as a kid. So love that Fuego's doing that as his finisher, because normally he does more of like a traditional springboard tornado DDT, but I love the DDT salt. So great finish there, great match between these two. And obviously I want to see more of JKM as well. They've been doing some, they'll pop up occasionally on GCW events, but I wouldn't be surprised if JKM became more of a regular, because great performances. After that, we had Brooke Havoc over Gina Rivera. The finish here was the Adrenaline in Reverse, which is Brooke's version of the Crossroads for the 1-2-3. Of course, Brooke is a trainee of Cody Rhodes in the Nightmare Factory. After that, we had Rich Swann over Man Like Derice. The finish of this one was a second rope Phoenix Splash for the 1-2-3. Really solid match between these two guys. I'd be interested to see Rich Swann in GCW on a more regular basis again. Like, he used to be a bigger part of the company, and obviously former TNA World Champion and, you know, former Cruiserweight Champion in the WWE. And, you know, it's just been interesting to see kind of where Swann's at right now, you know, because he's obviously always been really talented. And man like Darius is obviously on a big come up right now on the indie scene. So good matchup between those two. Swann once again with the second row Phoenix Splash for the 1-2-3. And it's worth noting, of course, if you didn't already know, that the Phoenix Splash was essentially handed down to Rich Swann by Hayabusa himself. So, you know, legend right there. After that, we had Effie over Juicy Finau. The finish here was a top rope sack rider, like a top rope diving sack rider. So Effie, off the top, comes down, sack rider, 1-2-3, takes down Juicy Finau. After that, we had Sydney Akeem over Ray Horace. The finish here was Ray Horace going for a running clothesline. Akeem ducks it with his final act, which is his double back handspring cutter for the 1-2-3. Sydney Akeem, with this match, is 16-0 in GCW, heading into Hammerstein against El Hijo del Vikingo. After that, we had Joe Janela over Rob Shitt. The finish of this one was pretty wild. Rob Shitt showed a lot of toughness and resiliency at the end of this one. So the finish was Janela hitting a Death Valley driver onto an open chair, and Shitt kicks out at two. Janela picks him up and hits another one onto an open chair, another Death Valley driver. And this one, the way Shitt hits the... I almost said the way Shitt hits the fan because of the expression. The way Shitt hits this chair, he like really folds on it and the chair doesn't give. It was pretty brutal. And Janela goes for the cover and Shitt kicks out again at two. And then Janela just beats the hell out of him. Just grabs some broken doors and just beats him down, uses some chairs, and eventually lays some broken doors onto Rob Shitt and goes up to the top, hits a Swanton Bomb onto the door, like kind of through the door onto Shitt. That just sounds so funny. But yeah, Rob Shitt gets pinned after that. 1-2-3, Janela gets the win. After that, we had Janela's partner, Megan Bain, in action. Megan Bain defeats Dulce Tormenta. The finish here was Bain hitting an F5. Dulce kicks out at 2, and then Bain follows up with a Tombstone Piledriver for the 3 count. After that, we had the Garbage Daddies, the number one contenders to the GCW Tag Team titles, Alec Price and Cole Radrick. They defeat the Wolf Zaddies team of Shea Cabrera and Bad Dude Tito. The finish of this one was now... So, last week, I'm almost positive. I don't have my notes in front of me. Last week, I was all excited because we finally got a name for the finisher, the Doomsday Double Stomp, when Alec Price is a double stomp. You know, Cole Radrick will put an opponent up on his shoulders, electric chair style. And I'm almost positive last week I was calling the move the Trash Compactor, because I'm almost positive that's what I heard it referred to on commentary. This week, I heard it referred to as the Garbage Disposal. I'm going to call it the Garbage Disposal until further notice. But either way, that was the finish. The Doomsday Double Stomp tag team combination from Alec Price, Cole Radrick, to Shea Cabrera. Garbage Daddies get the win. And the main event of the show, we had a hardcore match where Matthew Justice defeats Broski Jimmy. The finish here was Justice hitting a Death Valley driver onto a standing trash can, like a trash can that was upright. And that was just, you know, always looks brutal when you see those. But Jimmy kicks out at two. Justice then puts a trash can onto Jimmy's head and then hits him in the head with a chair and then goes up top, climbs the ladder, hits a stage dive, his big splash off the ladder onto Broski Jimmy, and Justice gets the win after the pinfall victory. After the match, Matthew Justice pretty much just hypes up the fact that he wants to win the Ultraviolent Championship in the ladder match at GCW Hammerstein. So moving on, we have the next set of results for GCW. We have GCW Highest in the Room. This is also available on Triller TV Plus. This is from the Ukrainian Culture Center in Los Angeles, California, the UCC, a regular venue for Game Changer Wrestling. The show was last night on December 14th, and these are the results. Show started off with Starboy Charlie over Manlike Darius. Finish here was Darius going up top for his Cool Runnings finisher. Starboy Charlie kicks him on the top rope to crotch him, hits him with a superplex, and then comes off the top rope with a shooting star press for the 1-2-3. Picture-perfect shooting star press, by the way, by Starboy Charlie. Starboy Charlie is interesting because GCW lately has mainly, I feel like, unless I'm just spacing here, but I feel like they mainly have just been using him when they're over on the West Coast. But Starboy was, a GCW regular years ago. He was getting a big push in his tag team with Chris Dickinson. Y'all can do your research into that. Dickinson, no longer a part of GCW, and hasn't been for a while. But Starboy also got hurt in, like, the timing of the injury and the timing of the tag team and everything that goes with that. It was just one of those things where Starboy, I feel like, never really, like, completely picked up the momentum that he left with. But he also wrestles so regularly for, like, West Coast Pro and a lot of those, the indies over on the West Coast. Maybe he's not as available to GCW, I don't know. But it is one of those things just interesting to me because Starboy always shows out and has always been over with the crowd. And, now I remember watching him when he was a teenager. He's currently, I believe he's 21 according to Cage Match. So, yeah, that's all to say. I'd like to see Starboy Charlie back in GCW on a more regular basis, if that is a possibility. After that, alright, so this is where we got some big news. So, I'll do my best to kind of explain the finish of this match and kind of what all happens after. So, we have Effie versus Matt Cardona. Towards the end of the match, the referee goes down, and Cardona tries to hit Effie with his Internet Championship. Effie ducks out of the way, and Cardona accidentally hits Broski Jimmy with the title. Effie capitalizes and hits Cardona with a Sack Rider, goes for the pinfall, and the referee's still down. While Effie's trying to, find a referee to count the pinfall, Cardona hits a low blow on Effie, and out of nowhere, someone comes out of the crowd wearing a New York Giants, like, hood and mask, and, like, a New York baseball hoodie, and this person hits Cardona in the head with a bat that allows Effie to hit a Sack Rider onto Cardona and pins Cardona 1-2-3. After this all happens, Chris Jericho is revealed to be under the mask and he attacks both Effie and Matt Cardona. Of course, Jericho is going to be defending the ROH World Championship against Matt Cardona at Hammerstein for ROH. That's going to be this Friday. I'll do the predictions at the end of the show. But, so, after all this happens, Jericho takes his hoodie off, and he's wearing an AEW t-shirt. And this is wild for a lot of reasons. First off, just surface level, right? Chris Jericho being in GCW at all, in a GCW ring, on a GCW show, that's pretty wild, And I know it's the fun thing to hate on Jericho nowadays, and, I get it. I get that's kind of the meme and how most people kind of feel about him nowadays. He's kind of like overstayed his welcome and, it's kind of unpopular to like Chris Jericho. But outside of Cody Rhodes, who, of course, I have a very biased, view on, but I do still think is an incredible pro wrestler and, of course, is currently a WWE champion. So, a lot of people love Cody Rhodes nowadays. But he's obviously my favorite wrestler of all time. But if it wasn't for Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho would be my favorite all time, and y'all know how much I love Game Changer Wrestling, so for me, this was a mark-out moment. I thought this was really cool seeing Chris Jericho being a part of GCW. Also, it's wild because, I'd imagine he's probably going to wrestle at Hammerstein for GCW. I do kind of, at this point, expect him to be on the GCW Hammerstein show in a match, which would be wild also. Also, it's wild that he was wearing an AEW shirt during all of this because of what we know with the Ricky Stark situation and the Willie Mack situation. Basically, people getting pulled from GCW shows who are AEW talent. And I hope that they figure things out and they can get Ricky back on these shows. And if Willie Mack was going to be a part, get him back on. Because a lot of people don't even realize Willie Mack is signed to, Ring of Honor /AEW, technically. So Tony Khan can decide and veto his bookings, So it's wild because we'll see if Jericho wrestles in GCW. We'll see if he, if there's more of like an AEW crossover or if they really lean more into this whole kind of all this news and all this stuff that we heard about between Tony Khan and Brett Lauderdale and GCW and AEW and the relationship that they do or don't have with one another, you know, a business perspective and all this stuff. So this was wild. This was wild for so many reasons, but I think it's really cool seeing Jericho and GCW. And I also think that for him, it's really smart because he's one of these guys who, for his entire career, since, you know, the mid-90s, this guy has continually reinvented himself, gimmick to gimmick, company to company, for years and years, decades and decades. And this is the first time in his career where he had to pivot his character and kind of what he does and where he's at, this whole high guys learning tree thing. This was a result of him finally being, like, late on the curve, if that makes sense. He's been really good his whole career about, like, you know, the Y2J gimmick. Okay, he feels like it's kind of overstayed its welcome. He, you know, it isn't the year 2000 anymore. It's years later. He takes a break from the company and stuff, comes back, eventually sheds that and becomes the, you know, the short hair wearing the suit, Nick Bockwinkel style heel character, has those great feuds with Shawn Michaels, becomes the World Heavyweight Champion again. Excuse me. Obviously, he was the first ever undisputed WWE and WCW champion in WWE, you know, years before that too. And then, you know, fast forward and we have stuff like, you know, the List of Jericho and the Inner Circle and the Alpha. And I mean, there's been a lot of gimmicks and stuff throughout Jericho's career, but the Painmaker and so on and so forth. But he was usually really good about kind of giving that up before it got lame and switching to the next thing. But in this sense, he kind of like, the fans basically kind of turned on him, right? And he's leaning into that as the character. But what better way than getting the hardcore wrestling audience back on your side than going to GCW, doing maybe other random indie appearances, but I'm assuming probably just GCW, probably just Hammerstein, you know, because it's such a massive show. But that alone, I feel like, can earn you a lot of goodwill in that space, in like the wrestling community at large, because a lot of the AEW audience is the quote-unquote internet wrestling audience, and a lot of that audience also is very tapped in to the indie scene and GCW and stuff. So if Jericho can put on some good performances in GCW and win that audience over, I think that's a win for his career in some aspects, if that makes sense. Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of people that are sick of Jericho regardless. They don't like the learning tree thing. They don't want him on AEW TV, and it just is what it is at this point for those fans, probably. But I think there is a portion of the audience that Jericho can win back, and these are the kind of things he probably, I think it's a good move to do those things if you're attempting to do that. So, yeah, I'll have, I'm sure, a lot more thoughts on the Jericho and GCW stuff during the spotlight, so please check that out. Once again, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, every Thursday, Fightful Overbooked, myself and Jeremy Lambert. All right, so after that, with the next match we had Sydney Akeem over Fuego del Sol. The finish of this one was Fuego going for the moonsault DDT. Akeem reverses it, hits the final act for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the Garbage Daddies, a team of Alec Price and Cole Radrick, over the Stoner Brothers, a team of Rick Scott Stoner and the Scott Rick Stoner. If you've never seen the Stoner Brothers, we talked about them occasionally here on the Weekender. They don't pop up on a whole lot of shows that we cover. But it's, for lack of better terms, it's two guys that are on the heavier side that slightly resemble the Steiner brothers. Like, one of them wears headgear. The Rick Scott Stoner wears headgear. Scott Rick Stoner wears a bandana, has like the long black hair, kind of like very, very, very almost somewhat kind of resembling the long black hair and look of OG Scott Steiner from the late 80s, early 90s era. But these guys, you know, bring joints to the ring and the Garbage Daddies spark up with them and they're passing it to the crowd and everyone's having a good time before the match. And the Stoner Brothers, by the way, I'm kind of clowning, you know, the gimmick a little bit, but it is fun. I'm thoroughly entertained by it on a, you know, personally as a fan. And they have a really, you know, they have a really sick moveset, which I do think is true, but I also saw how CM Punk feels about people that use the word moveset, so I don't know. Maybe another bone to pick with that guy. But they have a sick moveset, I'm just going to say it. Like, the Stoner Brothers have some really, really sick double-team moves, and the Garbage Daddies, of course, sell their asses off for these guys. This match was really fun. I really enjoyed it from both teams, and I really thought the finish was very smart, because the Garbage Daddies can't do the garbage disposal, because these guys are, you know, they're too big for Cole to put up on his shoulders, even though Cole did a pretty impressive job getting Shea Cabrera up on his shoulders the night before. So I'm not going to count it out that the Ratty Daddy can't get this done, but I thought this was smart and innovative how they did this. Basically, Cole does a tabletop instead of lifting up onto his shoulders. He does like a tabletop on all fours, and it allows Alec to hit the top rope double stomp and the tabletop combination as like a variation of the garbage disposal for the 1-2-3. So really, really well done by all four guys there. And of course, the Garbage Daddies are heading into Hammerstein to take on VIF for the Tag Team Championships. Forgot to mention the match before Sidney Akeem with his win over Fuego is now 17-0 in GCW. After that, we had a three-way match where Brooke Havoc defeats Dulce Tormenta and Zara Zacher. The finish of this one was Brooke hitting her adrenaline in reverse, her version of the crossroads, for the 1-2-3 on Dulce. Next, we had a Bloodsport match where Josh Barnett defeats Royce Isaacs by knockout. The finish here was Barnett hitting a doctor bomb, and Isaacs stands up before he gets counted down. And right when he stands up, Barnett hits a nice running clothesline and knocks out Isaacs. After the match, Barnett embraces Isaacs, they hug in the ring. And for those who don't know, Isaacs is a disciple of Josh Barnett. So Josh Barnett, proud of his student. After that, we had Genelesis, the team of Megan Bain and Joey Janela, over the team of Rich and Powerful, Perro and Richard Holiday. Before the match started, Holiday and Perro are cutting a promo in the ring. Holiday is on the mic. And he basically is talking about how GCW has unsafe working environments, and Charles Mason has escaped from prison, and nobody's safe, and he has his own security, basically, to keep Mason away from him. And while he's talking about this, he also mentions there's a $5,000 reward for Charles Mason. Towards the end of the match, a random guy in a orange jumpsuit comes out onto the entrance ramp, or onto the stage in the building, and basically, Mason's security takes this guy away, but this is a random guy in an orange jumpsuit. This is not Charles Mason, but it does scare Richard Holiday enough to where he leaves the ring and leaves Perro by himself. This allows an opening for Janela to land a super kick onto Perro, and then the Megasys follows up with a spear and pins Perro for the 1-2-3. After the match, Richard Holiday gets back into the ring with Perro, and the actual Charles Mason appears in a dress suit, not like a jumpsuit, but like a, you know, like a button-up in a suit. And he's clean-shaven. He's been able to clean up now that he's been home, you know, the last week since escaping jail. And he goes to hit Holiday in the head with a chair, but Holiday ducks, and Mason hits Perro in the head with the chair instead. Holiday runs away and leaves Perro there to get beat down a little bit more by the chair. So obviously, this is all heading to Hammerstein, a big grudge match that's been building for a long time now between Holiday and Mason, and I don't know how Perro's going to be involved in that, if it'll be like a triple threat, or if Perro will be on the outside and have to choose a side. But, you know, I've talked about it in previous episodes, so I won't talk about it for too long. The heel babyface dynamic in this thing has flip-flopped, and it's very interesting and strange how, after all this time and all this build, Mason is the heel, and Holiday and Perro are... Mason is the babyface, and Holiday and Perro are the heels. Which is so backwards, I messed it up even just explaining it. After that, we had Los Desperados, the team of Varez, Gringo Loco, and Jack Cartwheel, over Juicy Finau and the Wolf Zaddies team of Bad Dude Tito and Shea Cabrera. The finish here was Jack Cartwheel hitting a moonsault to the outside on Shea to take him out of the match. Gringo Loco hits a top rope Spanish fly to take out Bad Dude Tito. And then Arez hits a top rope Poison Rana onto Juicy Finau. And Arez pins Juicy. 1-2-3. Los Desperados get the win. And they are heading into Hammerstein to take on ECW Legends, Tajiri, Super Crazy, and Little Guido in six-man action at Hammerstein. So I'm really looking forward to that. After that, we had Allie Catch over Vipress. The finish of this one was Allie Catch. Looked like she was trying to reverse a powerbomb attempt. Kind of didn't look right, but essentially no sells a powerbomb. Gets up, hits two pussy pile drivers, pins Vipress, but lifts her head up at two, so wants to inflict a little more damage. Grabs a chair and pile drives Vipress onto the chair, pussy pile driver to the chair. 1, 2, 3. And of course, Allie Catch heading into Hammerstein, where she will be taking on Effie, the winner of that match, going on to the main event to take on Mance Warner for the GCW World Heavyweight Championship. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, just for the record, I still think that Effie's going to beat Allie Catch and Effie will defeat Mance Warner for the title, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of non-finish or double finish and the main event wound up being a triple threat. But either way, I just feel like if it was going to be a triple threat, they'd just advertise as a triple threat and they would just, that would just be the match. So I'm leaning more towards Effie doing the job himself, or getting the job done himself, not doing the job. I expect Effie to win. So I think Effie's going to beat Allie Catch and beat Mance. And the main event of the show, we had a death match where Matthew Justice defeats Dr. Redacted. The finish of this one was a Death Valley driver off of a ladder through a double door bridge for the 1-2-3. We've seen Matthew Justice do these types of moves a lot throughout his career, and it is still always just as impressive. These guys are nuts. Just super nuts. After the match, Justice is addressing the crowd again like he did the night before on the microphone, kind of hyping up his ultra-violent ladder match at Hammerstein. And Atticus Kogar comes out of nowhere wearing a orange jumpsuit, and he's got tasers, and he's tasing Matthew Justice and Dr. Redacted, and gets a microphone and basically makes it known that he's going to be at Hammerstein also. I don't know if they made it official yet or not, but my prediction was a few weeks ago, I said Atticus Kogar I would totally expect to be in the ultraviolent ladder match. After last week, I wasn't so sure because I feel like one of those spots should belong to Mr. Danger, since Mr. Danger defeated John Wayne Murdoch in a death match at Center Stage. But JWM is in the ladder match and still in the ladder match. So, you know, and it makes way more sense storyline-wise for everyone involved if Atticus is in the match. You can always do a 7-way or an 8-way ladder match. There's, I mean, it's the DLC ladder match, so, I mean, you can do whatever you want, really. It's GCW at the end of the day. But I feel like Mr. Danger should be in that match, and if he isn't in that match, I guess it's leaving the door open for, you know, if JWM wins the ultraviolent title in the ladder match, then his first, you know, title challenger could be Mr. Danger, considering he beat him, you know, last week. Who knows? But, you know, that all said, I do expect Atticus Kogar to be in the ladder match, and I fully expect him to be, you know, a regular part of GCW going forward, unless something has happened or, you know, we'll never know probably what all happened between Atticus and GCW that caused him to leave years back, but hopefully things are good to go going forward, because I think Atticus is, you know, a very valuable member of the GCW roster. Was there a long time, was a massive part of the 440 storyline with RSP being the champion versus Nick Gage and all this stuff for, you know, years. So good to see, and yeah, two great GCW events back-to-back, as once again we head into the Hammerstein event next month, you know, only about a month away. Alright, moving on, we have results for Action Wrestling. This is Bangers Only 5. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. All is one word, no spaces. I am endorsed by IWTV to give you that code, and if you use it, just let the platform know I sent you their way, so I appreciate everyone uses code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv. This show was live on December 13th from the Roger Spencer Community Center in Tyrone, Georgia. These are the results. Show started off with Cody Fluffman versus Rob Killjoy going to a no contest when Action Wrestling world champion Tim Bosby attacks both wrestlers. This is technically Tim Bosby's Action Wrestling debut, which is wild because he's the champion. He won the title at a TWE show, so he's never actually officially been on an Action Wrestling show, and he's the champion of the company and makes his debut essentially by coming in and attacking both guys. It's a really nice F5 to Fluffman as well. And this is setting the stage for some big stuff that's going to be happening later in the show. After that, we had Dev Lynn over Brittany Jade. The finish here was the Bulldog Driver, the Headlock Driver, the original Dirty Deeds, whatever you want to call it. Y'all know the move. Dev Lynn gets the 1-2-3. After that, we had a 2-on-1 handicap match where Adam Priest defeats Alexander Lev and Grayson Pierce. The finish of this one saw Darian Bengtson come in and help even the odds for Adam Priest. And at the end of the match, Lev is going for a stack pin and has the ropes held, so the referee won't count the three because he's looking at Lev holding the ropes. And Priest breaks the hold and reverses it basically into a sunset flip, gets the pin, 1-2-3. We will talk more about Lev when it comes to NWA results, and I am imagining that Adam Priest is probably on the DPW show that we'll be covering once I have the results as well. Of course, Adam Priest, big part of DPW. After that, we had Matt Sells over Danny O'Ryan. The finish of this one was basically Orion goes for a springboard and like from the apron to the inside of the ring, and Sells catches him with a cutter for the 1-2-3. After the match, he does his, like, I call him the head humps, but basically, if you know, you know. But Matt Sells basically gets behind his opponent face down and just humps their head into the ground over and over. And Dylan Hales on commentary calls it cardiovascular, which is great. We will talk more about Dylan as well before the end of this one. We had up next a 8-person tag team match with a good hand team of Casey Owens, Kevin Ryan, Shug D, and The Wall, Tyler Stevens, defeat Jameson Shook and the Knopfside Heroes team of Jose Manuel and Shooter Gabe, as well as Travis 3000. The finish of this one was the good hand pretty much hitting all their moves back to back. So we had the basically like the double Outsider's Edge variation from Shug D and Kevin Ryan, followed up by Tyler Stevens grabbing Casey Owens and doing an assisted car crash, which is like just throwing Casey Owens across the ring. Big impact. 1-2-3, the good hand get the win. Up next, we had Aaron Wade over Cody Manhorn. The two of these guys have a long history with one another, the former Squatting Dragons tag team, and they've also been rivals and have had some, you know, some really hard-hitting, you know, blood feud type matches with one another as well. This is another layer to their feud story, history, lore, whatever you want to call it. The finish of this one was Manhorn going for a fireman's carry with Wade up on his shoulders. Wade jumps down and pushes Manhorn into the referee as the referee is distracted or kind of, you know, recovering rather. Aaron Wade hits a crane kick, Karate Kid style, but this is to the dick of Cody Manhorn, since the ref isn't looking. Follows up with a buzzsaw kick to Jiri style for the 1-2-3. Aaron Wade gets the win. After that, we had Jaden Newman over Alex Kane. The finish of this one was Casey Owens, who is a part of the Good Hand, and Alex Kane, of course, a part of the Good Hand as well. Casey Owens comes out to the ring to try to help Alex Kane. Kane tells Owens to go away, because lately Kane and the rest of the Good Hand have not been on the same page. Kane, much more leaning towards a babyface now than the Good Hand. You can tell it's brewing that something's going to blow up between Alex Kane and the rest of the group sooner than later, most likely. But this is a part of that, and kind of building that story, because as Casey Owens is leaving the ring, Alex Kane is distracted by telling him to leave. This allows Jaden Newman to hit the KSPS and pin Alex Kane for the 1-2-3. In the main event of the show, we had the Action Wrestling World title on the line. Tim Bosby defends and retains over former champion Bobby Flacco. For those of you who don't know the history here, Bobby Flacco defeated Manders for the Action Wrestling World Championship. That title change was very recent, and so recent, as a matter of fact, if you go back just like a handful of weeks to the spotlight on Fightful Overbooked, myself and Jeremy interviewed Bobby Flacco like the week after he'd won the championship. And then, like, the next week, or whatever it was, within, like, the next week or two, Bobby Flacco lost the Action title to Warhorse at an untelevised show for Action out of, I think, Fayetteville, Georgia. And then the next night at TWE in the Chattanooga area, Tim Bosby defeated Warhorse to become the Action Wrestling World Champion. So that's where we're at coming into this. Bosby gets the win over former champion Flacco before the match even started. Bosby started this whole thing off by coming like from the backstage area with Bobby Flacco in a rear naked choke. Like, he was beating him up before the match started. He hit him with an F5 before the match started. Like, this was Bosby with a beatdown onto Flacco before this match even got started, before the bell even rang. But as far as the finish, the actual match, Bosby grabs Flacco in a dragon sleeper and spins him around in a big swing, like Cesaro style, but with a dragon sleeper, and then follows up by just laying in ground and pound, like punches and elbows onto Flacco until the referee has to jump in and stop it. So Tim Bosby gets the win by, I guess you call it TKO, referee discretion, but really, really great showing from Bosby's first defense of this championship in Action Wrestling. And what happens after this match is awesome for a lot of reasons. So this is very much my stuff, my type of stuff. So after the match, multiple wrestlers from the locker room come out because Bosby's beating down Flacco, and he winds up just like taking out anyone who comes out to try to fight him off. Like, he's hitting F5s on people, he's choking people out, he's throwing people out of the ring, he's suplexing people. Like, Bosby, you know, some people are getting their licks in a little bit, but Bosby overall is just, he's just wiping everyone out. And eventually, he starts doing the same to Rob Killjoy, who's one of the guys in the ring. And Dylan Hales gets in the ring, and Dylan, it looks like he's going to tell Bosby to stop. And instead, he points at Killjoy and tells him to keep going. And Bosby keeps laying this beatdown in, and Dylan Hales straight up turns heel, aligns with Tim Bosby, grabs the microphone and just starts talking about how Bosby is a real champion and a real wrestler, and Dylan's been sitting up at that commentary booth for like 6 years and basically just like biding his time and watching people who didn't deserve it and didn't have what it took, and Tim Bosby's basically finally the guy he's always wanted. And, you know, other members of the TWE and Action Wrestling universe and locker room and stuff are out, you know, like, we have Jaden Newman and Cody Manhorn and Jameson Shook at ringside looking on in just complete disbelief that Dylan Hales is doing this. Alex Kane was out there at 1.2, but the good hand told him to come back with them. But this was awesome. And also, it was awesome because, toot my own horn a little bit here, a couple weeks ago on the Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked, I interviewed Tim Bosby. And one of the things we talked about was his relationship with Dylan Hales. And I even, you know, put some quotes together, and Jeremy put them up on the site, up on Fightful.com. So if you want to see this for yourself, this was put up like over a week ago, this article about how special and important Dylan Hales is to Tim Bosby. And now we know on Action Wrestling Television how important Dylan Hales is to Tim Bosby and how important Tim Bosby is to Dylan Hales. And I love this pairing. I love this pairing. Moe's wasn't in the building. I think he was on vacation, but we had Carmen Michael, who's also a good friend and also a recent returnee, someone we interviewed for a second time recently on the Spotlight as well. He was there doing commentary, but I'm really interested to see what happens when Moe's comes back and the relationship between Moe's and Dylan. And yeah, this was great stuff all the way around. So check this show out, independentwrestling.tv, Action Wrestling, bangers only.
All right, moving on. Up next, we got results for DPW. This is Deadlock Pro Wrestling 3rd anniversary results. Show just aired on dpwondemand.com. This was from today, December 15th, 2024. And these are the results. Show started off with BK Westbrook over Jackson Drake. Finish of this one was a shooting star press off the top from Westbrook for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Kevin Blackwood over Mad Dog Connolly. Finish here was Mad Dog hitting a lariat and then grabbing the arm of Blackwood to hit another lariat, like a short arm lariat, but Blackwood ducks it and does a schoolboy roll up with a bridge on the legs for extra leverage and gets the 1-2-3 on Mad Dog Connolly. After that, we had Hyon over Emi Sakura. The finish here was the referee is distracted. Hyon uses Danny Luna's Battle of the Best trophy and hits Emmy in the back with that, and then follows up with a spear and gets the pinfall victory. After that, we had Luke Jacobs over Manders. The finish here was Manders looking away, like, the opposite direction from Luke. He's on his knees. He gives the double middle fingers in the air and basically just tells Luke, just go ahead and do it. And Luke hits him with a Northern Lariat, you know, really stiff clothesline to the back of the head, and gets the pinfall victory. This was a rematch of a matchup that we saw. I'm almost positive it was in GCW within, like, the last few weeks. I definitely remember covering a match between Luke Jacobs and Manders that also had the finish of Luke Jacobs hitting a Northern Lariat and pinning Manders. So Jacobs seems to have the number on Manders, but great matchups between these two every single time. Speaking of great matchups, after that we had Trevor Lee over Andrew Everett. Two of these guys have a long history with one another and a ton of chemistry, and it's, you know, obvious that they're very excited to be able to get to wrestle each other and stuff, because they really show out. The finish here was Trevor Lee hitting a released German suplex off the top rope, which turns Trevor Lee inside out, so he does, like, a full moonsault off the top and hits the mat, and Trevor Lee follows up with his running standing double stomp and gets the 1-2-3 on Everett. After that, we had Violence is Forever, team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo, defeating Speedball Mike Bailey and Jake Something to become the new Deadlock Pro Tag Team Champions for the second time. The finish here was, and this is a Koo himself tweeted the name of this, he called it the Steen Erico Chasing the Dragon. And essentially what he's describing, if y'all know the Steen Erico move that he's referring to, it's basically a package pile driver. So Dom does a package pile driver and then onto Speedball, and then rolls him right into a brainbuster by Kevin Koo. Now, normally that would be the brainbuster by El Generico. So package pile driver into brainbuster is what Steen Erico would do. You know, Kevin Steen and El Generico, of course. But this version of it is the package pile driver rolled up into the setup for the Chasing the Dragon, which I call the Danielson Chasing the Dragon, the Versyco Chasing the Dragon, because Dominic Greene does the running Versyco knee variation, and Kevin Koo drops Speedball on his head with the brainbuster to get the 1-2-3 and once again become the two-time DPW World Tag Team Champions. Congratulations to Violence is Forever. VIF, y'all know I'm biased, they're my favorite tag team in the world, and it's great to see them with both the GCW Tag Team titles and the DPW Tag titles. I know that DPW means a lot to both Kevin Koo and Dominic Greene. Whenever we've interviewed those guys, and, you know, just anytime I hear them talking about DPW, it means a lot to them. And I know it means a lot to a lot of the talents on these shows, because, you know, as I mentioned before, like, DPW has super high production value. They put on great matches, and a lot of people kind of compare them to, like, old school early days Ring of Honor, like the vibes of the shows, the great in-ring wrestling, the great crowd reactions. And, you know, I definitely understand the parallels and comparisons with that. I would agree, you know, as a fan of early Ring of Honor and a fan of DPW, I think that both shows, I get the comparisons. And, you know, I thought it'd be said lightly, because obviously early Ring of Honor is looked at very, very, you know, glowingly, you know, in the wrestling, you know, in the wrestling world, and from, like, the perspective of the people that lived through that time frame. You know, we've romanticized that time a lot, and, you know, DPW is kind of like a modern day of that, which is really, really cool to see. And the main event of the show, big title change. We had LeBron Cozone over Adam Priest to become the new DPW National Champion. For those of you who may not know, the National Championship is basically the second top title in the company. The heavyweight champion is Calvin Tankman, who was not on this show. The main event being for the National Championship. Adam Priest has held that title for quite a while now as well. So Priest, y'all know we cover on the Weekender often, and even more so we were covering him when he was, you know, a more regular part of, like, the Southeast scene, which he still is a very regular part of the Southeast scene, but he's really branched out all over the place, and for good reason. Adam Priest is one of the best in-ring wrestlers in the entire world, and a lot of people in wrestling and wrestlers themselves will tell you that same thing. A ton of respect for Adam Priest and what he does. And of course, respect to LeBron Cozone, who is now the national champion. The crowd popped big for this title change. The finish here was the Ball Game, which is Cozone's version of, like, a really stiff lariat. He hits Priest off the top rope with one of those. Like, Priest is crotched on the top rope, and LeBron hits him off it. And then he picks Priest up off the ground and then nails one more Ball Game just right in his face, hits him with the Ball Game. 1-2-3, new champion, LeBron Cozone, to wrap up DPW's third anniversary and wrap up the year of 2024 for DPW and for, you know, a lot of these wrestlers, we'll see what happens heading into 2025. Moving on, got results for NWA Power / NWA Samoan 2 Part 2. This is available on the National Wrestling Alliance X channel. This was taped on October 26th and aired on December 10th. So in the WEDU studios in Tampa, Florida, we had three matches. These are the results. We had Alex Misery versus Lev ended in no contest. Lev, we were just talking about Lev being a part of Action Wrestling. But this is a no contest when Cassio comes out and attacks everyone with kendo sticks, including Gags, who was on the outside. And he's just still mad about the Sacrificial Lamb match. After that, we had a tag team match where Brian Idol and Colby Carino defeats the Southern Six combination of Silas Mason and Kerry Morton. Finish here was Colby Carino hitting a L driver onto Morton for the 1-2-3. In the main event of the show, we had the NWA World Television title on the line in a Hell Awaits match, basically a hardcore match, where Carson Bartholomew Drake defeats Maxxion Palor to win the TV championship. Of course, Father James Mitchell was outside the ring for Max. The finish here was, there was like a chair that was open but turned upside down, so Drake throws Max throat first into the legs of the chair, and then Drake removes their boot for some reason. I'm not really sure exactly the reason they did this, but Max runs towards Drake to try to attack while they're holding the boot, but Max almost runs into Father James Mitchell, who's on the ring apron. And to avoid the collision, Max stops, and then they wind up getting rolled up by a schoolboy with the tights, and Drake wins the TV championship. After the match, Max attacks Father James Mitchell, hits him with a clothesline to end the show. So that was Samoan Part 2 for the National Wrestling Alliance. Once again, you can watch it for free on the National Wrestling Alliance X channel. After that, we got some results for NXT Level Up. These are just two matches. This is from December 13th, available on WWE Network. First match we had was Wendy Chu over Danny Palmer. The finish of this one was basically like a crossface chicken wing submission hold by Wendy Chu against the tap out victory over Danny Palmer. And then the only other match we had on the show was Nico Vance over Oro Mensah. Of course, Vance has been aligned recently with Sean Spears and Brooks Jensen, and I'm a fan of Brooks Jensen. I like them a lot. Obviously, I'm a little biased. You know, the guy's using he's using my name, but talented guy. I legitimately do like him, and I actually think I liked him more when he was kind of more like the redneck, like kind of guy who was with Josh Briggs and Fallon Henley. But it was like kind of more like the curly mullet, almost like the Jerry Curl mullet. But that said, you know, I want success for the guys. Whatever WWE thinks is best, you know, we'll see. I think aligning him with Sean Spears is smart. You know, but it's interesting to see Spears' position in the company in NXT right now. It, you know, interesting to see him part of Level Up at all. But this is good, and a good endorsement for Nico Vance is really, at the end of the day, kind of what I'm getting at. The finish of this one was a top rope diving headbutt for the 1-2-3 by Vance to get the win over Mensah. So just two matches this week for NXT Level Up, but two solid matches in their own rights. Moving on, let's do some quick predictions for ROH Final Battle. This is going to be taking place from the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City on December 20th, which is this upcoming Friday. I got 7 matches listed. Don't know if they'll add more, if there's something glaring I'm missing here, but I'll do my best to cover what I've got in front of me. We got Red Velvet defending the ROH Women's World TV title against Layla Hirsch. I'm going to take Layla Hirsch. Nothing against Red Velvet, but I've always just been a really big Layla Hirsch fan. I know she was injured for a while. She's been back for a while. I've always liked her. I just think she's always been very talented. I was a very big fan of her work on the indies before Ring of Honor. She had a really great NWA Women's World Championship match against Camille that I feel like people forget about. One of Camille's best matches, maybe her best match, was against Layla Hirsch. So
That all said, I'm going to take Layla Hirsch to win the TV Championship. We got Lee Moriarty defending the ROH Pure Championship in a Pure Rules match, of course, but his opponent has not been announced yet. I just got to assume that he's going to retain the championship unless the person winds up being, like, Jonathan Gresham or, like, you know what I mean? Like, someone who has, like, a rich history in Ring of Honor with that championship that comes back or something. Otherwise, I don't see any reason to take it off of Moriarty. We got a Survival of the Fittest match for the ROH TV Championship, where Brian Cage is going to defend against Willie Mack, Commander, Mark Davis, AR Fox, and Blake Christian. As a Blake Christian fan, I think it'd be very cool to see him win this championship, but I do not expect that to happen. As a Willie Mack fan, I'd really love to see that happen as well. I feel like Brian Cage will probably keep holding on to it, but there's really no point in doing that. Commander's got a lot of buzz. You know, AR Fox, I've always been a big fan of his. It'd be cool to see him get his flowers, you know, just winning a, you know, major championship on this show. Mark Davis is really the odd man out in so many ways because Kyle Fletcher is clearly going to be a massive star for AEW going forward, and Mark Davis, you know, just not going to be as big of a star, most likely. This is what it is. But there's also no point in Brian Cage having this championship in the, you know, in the group that he's with Don Callis and everything. So I'm actually going to say Cage loses here. I'm going to say, I'd honestly like to see, like, any of these other guys win it, but I'll take Willie Mack. I just got a gut feeling. Maybe that's part of why he got pulled off the GCW shows, because they got plans for him Ring of Honor. I don't know. We got Jay Lethal versus QT Marshall. I'm going to take Jay Lethal in that one. We have the Sons of Texas, the team of Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara, defending the ROH World Tag Team titles in a bull rope match against the Righteous team of Vincent and Dutch. I have no idea what Dustin Rhodes' AEW/Ring of Honor contract looks like as far as how much longer he's going to be there. I'm just going to predict that they lose because I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, and I totally expect Dustin to go back to the WWE when he's able to. That's not a report, that's just my own gut feeling. I just don't know how much longer that deal goes for, or if they need to take the titles off them now or they'll wait. Considering it's a Texas Bull Rope match, you'd think that Dustin would win, but I'm going to take the Righteous just because I don't know how much longer Dustin's going to be there. We got Chris Jericho defending the ROH World Championship against Matt Cardona. I'm obviously very interested in this one, but neither guy really scream Ring of Honor, you know, when you think about them. Matt Cardona does not even work for Ring of Honor. I got to go with Chris Jericho to retain here, but obviously I'm a big fan of both guys. And what I'm hoping is the main event of the show, we have Athena defending the ROH Women's World Championship against Billy Starks. Last year, Billy couldn't get the job done. We've seen a lot happen between these two over the last year, with Billy becoming the TV champion, losing that, kind of coming out of favor from Athena and everything. Athena, you know, really likes Lexi more now, and, you know, there's been a lot that's happened over the last year. That's all to say, at some point, Athena's going to lose the title. There is literally no better choice given the history and the storyline and the talent and everything. Billy Starks should win the ROH Women's World Championship on this show, so I'm going to take Billy Starks to win. And congratulations in advance to Billy and to Mouse if and when this happens. I really hope it does. All right, and spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We're going to wrap up today's show with TNA Impact spoilers. I will do my best to try to remember to put timestamps in the description once I've got the DPW results so that they're accurate. But, you know, you can just cut the show off right now if you want to remain spoiler-free, because this is the last thing we're talking about. We got TNA Impact spoilers. These are from December 14th from Atlanta, Georgia, Center Stage. They're courtesy of the Wrestling Observer, but I'm reading them via Fightful.com. These are the results. Spoiler, spoiler, spoilers. We got Jake Something over Laredo Kid. The Rascals over the Good Hands. It says Joe Hendry cut an in-ring promo, but was interrupted by Ryan Nemeth, which led to a match. Ryan Nemeth then defeated Rhino by disqualification. That's interesting that... But also, it's worth noting, you know, if you missed Final Resolution, Joe Hendry is the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship. And, of course, Ryan Nemeth, if you want to know more about what's going on with him right now, just look into that, because he's got some stuff brewing with AEW by way of CM Punk. Next match we have here, we got Ace Austin over Kushida. Austin says he wants to go after the world title, but then he's interrupted by X Division champion Moose, Santino Marella, makes a X Division title match for Ace Austin versus Moose at Genesis. We had Mike Santana cut an in-ring promo, but was interrupted by Josh Alexander in the Northern Armory. This leads to a gauntlet match later. We had Eric Young, Jonathan Gresham, and Steve Macklin over the System team of Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers, and JDC. It says the System attacked them afterwards. Nick Nemeth cuts a promo and was interrupted by Ryan Nemeth, who said that they were facing Joe Hendry and Rhino in a tag team match. Lei Ying Lee defeats Savannah Evans. Zaya Brookside was supposed to face Evans, but wasn't medically cleared. Knockouts tag team title match between Spitfire and Ash and Heather by Elegance is made official for Genesis. At a gauntlet match where Mike Santana defeats Judas Icarus and Travis Williams and Josh Alexander. Jordan Grace cuts an in-ring promo and is attacked by Tessa Blanchard. I'll talk about Tessa in a second. Followed by a pull-apart brawl, and the match is official for Genesis. Tessa Blanchard versus Jordan Grace. We had Moose and Alicia Edwards cut promos where Moose throws down the X-Division title and says a new championship will debut at Genesis. He's interrupted by Andrew Everett, which leads to a match, which is Moose over Andrew Everett. Well, that's interesting. So Moose is claiming he's going to replace the X-Division title, which is the most recognized, most TNA heart and soul title that the company has. We had Rhino and Joe Hendry over Nick Nemeth and Ryan Nemeth. Leon Slater over Trent Seven. The Knockouts tag team titles on the line. Spitfire and Knockout champion Masha Slamovich and Jordan Grace defeat Heather and Ash by Elegance and Tasha Steelz and Rosemary. We had Eric Young and Steve Macklin over First Class. Josh Alexander and the Northern Armory are out for a promo, and Santana comes out, setting up an I Quit match at Genesis between Santana and Alexander. That'll be a banger. I like that a lot. Santana needs to win that, though, to like have a shot at becoming the TNA World Champion in the near future. But, again, I mainly say that because we know Alexander's probably on his way out of the company. He's, at the very least, going to be testing free agency soon. So Jordan Grace comes out to the announcer's table, says something into the headset, and walks off. Joe Hendry and Nick Nemeth are out for a promo to set up Genesis World title match. Ryan comes out and gets it with a standing ovation. Then Nick hits a super kick onto Hendry. Tessa Blanchard comes out to the announcer's table and says something into the headset. Jordan Grace comes out and brawls with her and lays her out. The TNA Tag Team Champions, the Hardys, defeat Sami Callihan and PCO. PCO may have been hurt during the match. He was helped to the back. That's a bummer. Every time I watch PCO wrestle, I feel like it might be the last time, because like he looks so close to like devastating injuries every single time he wrestles. But obviously, I hope he's okay. I'm obviously a fan of his. And the Tessa Blanchard stuff, that's super interesting, right? I mean, on one hand, it's like people deserve second chances. On the other hand, I totally understand why you wouldn't want to give her another chance. TNA is making a very bold move by having her involved in the company. And by bold, I don't necessarily mean that's a good thing. Tessa's super talented, right? We can all agree on that. She's a very talented professional wrestler, but there's a lot of people that do not want to work with her. And it sounds like the way that she was brought into the company may not have been on the up and up either, as far as like a lot of key people that would normally be in the loop were like apparently left out of the loop because they knew they wouldn't like react favorably to the idea and stuff. So they've got a situation kind of on their hands with this, and it sounds like Jordan Grace didn't even want to work with Tessa to begin with, but they're kind of making her, but Jordan's on her way out of the company, so she kind of just got to do what she's got to do so she can head to the WWE, basically. So we'll see how this kind of all plays out and unfolds, but, you know, interesting move to say the least. Tessa Blanchard being a part of TNA once again, and, her and Jordan Grace at Genesis, so. As we do this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast, I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please watch the Spotlight, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, over on Fightful Overbooked. Me and Jeremy talk the world of wrestling, AEW, WWE, other topics, indies, and we have interviews for y'all. The most recent interview we did was with Jarrett Bailey, who y'all might know from the wrestling and NFL world. Had a really fun conversation with him on last show. The plan this week is to have Dave Penzer join the show once again, a returning guest who has a new book coming out this week. And, WCW legend, a voice of my childhood. So looking forward to catching up with Dave Penzer. So,
please support where you can, follow me where you can, and that said, I've been Steven Jensen. Until next week, enjoy professional wrestling. Skol Vikings.